is behind the news on Radio Ghana, linking up with all our regional FM stations. And as usual, we'll be taking your test on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. Language of decorum is important. And we want to move on to our first story. Gone are the days when the military directly interfered in politics and were used as an instrument of force to terrorize civilians. By the dictates of the 1992 constitution, the Ghana Armed Forces have kept to their traditional role of defending the nation against external aggression and rendering civil service, like the construction of bridges and roads. Since then, the military have repositioned themselves to meet the challenges of the current democratic dispensation by deciding to actively take part in national development. In line with this, the Ghana Armed Forces have taken over the defunct Kumasi Shoe Factory and have struck a partnership deal with a Czech company to manufacture some basic needs of the military and other security services. While commending the Ghana Armed Forces for the initiative, some people think the military could do more to support Ghana's socio-economic development. How does the military react to this? Kenel Mbawine Atintandi is the Director of Armed Forces Public Relations Directorate, and he will be helping us to analyze the issues. He's on the line. Kenel Atintandi, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, Kingsley.
Yes. We are talking about a new deal that you've managed to strike. Can you take us a little bit into this deal with the Czech firm?
Well, we have this arrangement with a Czech Republic firm to go into footwear manufacturing. This is part of a concept that the Ghana Armed Forces is embarking on, to be able to collaborate with civil society or our civilian combat counterparts so that we can effectively affect national development. Now, the issue that the footwear is only one part of the whole concept that we have. We have other things that we are embarking on, including agro-business, boat and ship building, including construction, many other things. That we, in all, we have 9 or 10 ventures that we want to get in as far as this issue is concerned. Well, we think that it's necessary for us to do so because we want to reposition ourselves, as you have said, so that we can refocus and then contribute more effectively to national development while we keep on taking care of our core roles.
Yeah. So who are you going to employ?
Just about anybody.
Anybody? It is not only for the military?
Of course, yes, it will be for the military and mainly for our retired personnel. Mainly we will be targeting them because they are out there with a lot of expertise and experience that we think are wasting. And so while we will extend a hand to civilians generally, we should also be considering, you know, providing a lot more effort for employing our retired military personnel into this venture.
So are you just manufacturing only for the military, or you will be doing much more for the civilian population too if they want products from this factory?
Well, we will not only be producing for the military. I mean, if you take, for example, the renewable energy project that we want to get into in terms of providing energy, this one we cannot just use it mainly for the armed forces. We would use it generally for everybody. We will, for example, provide some of that energy into the national grid if the opportunity avails itself, such that we will affect the rest of the community. But these products that we are going to get out are not necessarily entirely for military use. They would also be extended to the civilian public.
Yeah. Kanelimba, some will raise the issue that the military... Certainly, we have some in government, but they are not known so much in entrepreneurial things like this. What informed the decision?
Well, the thing is that it's one thing saying that the military is not entrepreneurial, because I've said it somewhere that many of the principles that we are dealing with in management and public administration emanated from military research and development. And therefore, we, for example, not doing this in the past in a manner that we are seeing now does not mean that we cannot do it. This is a challenge to us. We think that we are capable of doing this. We think that we can affect our society much more. And we believe that Ghana should trust that we should be able to execute this project very, very effectively.
Yeah, naturally, the questions have come because previously you've been engaged in some endeavors like agriculture, but now we don't even hear so much of you being there, even though occasionally we hear about the 48 engineers still helping with the building of bridges. Don't you think the question then is relevant?
No, well, it may be relevant, yes, but I think a few months ago we relaunched our agricultural activities. Those of us who are aware of it will know that we relaunched this throughout the garrison, you know, to help us to refocus and to see how we can contribute to national development through increased production in the agricultural sector. So yes, they may have genuine reasons to raise the issue that they are raising, because they think that in the past we have not been able to do these things on a large scale. But by and large, I think that once we are refocusing and then trying to see whether we can get a limited liability company that will pursue the direction for us, I think that we will be able to deliver. In any case, we are doing this thing in response to many, many needs. We have public sector reform, for example, that the government has initiated, which requires that there should be a lot more effort in providing employment to the large teeming unemployed people. And I think that this is in line with that goal, and we think it is very necessary for us to go along this line such that we can, as I said, contribute more effectively to national development.
So you don't think at all that it will be swaying you away from your traditional mandate of defending against external aggression and being on the alert on a regular basis?
On the contrary, I think it will help us to remain more effective, because we will not, for example, be looking for things that we should be buying. We will not always go begging, you know, that provide us this. And of course, government will feel very assured that, yes, once we can do this thing, much of the money or some of the funds that will be given to us could be used for other purposes. I think that at by and large, it will help us to be more effective in our core roles.
Yeah, so it means that directly the management will be coming from the military, but you'll be thinking of those to put in.
For now, what has happened is that we have set up a unit called the Defense Industry Department that is going to provide direction and policy in this issue. Then we've gone further to set up the Defense Industries Holding Corporation Company, which is a limited liability company that will handle this. Mainly, we are going to see that there is a lot that is required to have civilian ownership of that, you know, company. We will have one or two soldiers, for example, in order for us to provide that direction, because it is aimed at providing us, the military, that leverage for us to be able to see how we can contribute to national development. And so we will see a lot more civilians and, of course, as I said earlier, retired military personnel inside these ventures. So by and large, I think that we will run these companies as all other commercial ventures are supposed to do in this country, considering very well that, yes, due diligence will have to be done, we will have to be transparent, and we will have to make sure that we follow through with whatever is the best practices.
Yeah. We've mentioned the role of the military over a long period, but directly from your perspective, can you tell us, educate us on what you are supposed to do as an organization? Or as a unit?
Well, somebody has said, for example, matters of security are not things that are very obvious. I have used an analogy, for example, that we all have homes, we all live in rooms and houses, for example. All our homes have doors, and especially we have the main door. Most of the time, we fail to recognize the importance of that main door, because it may be the cheapest in the entire place that we are. There's likely to be very good electronic gadgets in our homes, even sometimes money, jewelry, and all those more expensive things inside the house. But that single door that you have that leads into your house, we always take for granted. Now, if you leave that door open for several days, you know, whether you go to sleep or not, you end up seeing what is going to happen to you. And so that is the kind of situation we have in the military. Many of us think that the military does not do anything. But you let the military get out of the scene one day, we would not risk it. We should not risk it. But assuming that we were to do so, the next day you end up seeing that we may not have what we call Ghana. I think it has happened in many other areas around the world that we can, to use as examples. But the fact is that we are supposed to defend this country by land, by air, by sea, and we are supposed to be able to help to provide security and stability in this country. The things that we do, you know, in order to arrive at this end state is something that many of us are not so well conversant with. But by and large, we play a very critical role ensuring that this country continues to be what it is, this country continues to be stable and peaceful, and that we will always continue to have that security that enables us to do the jobs that we have. Yeah. By and large, too, you end up seeing that everybody feels free to go about their normal duty, and we have democracy where everybody can say whatever they want to say. Today, we have it. If tomorrow the situation deteriorates us that we don't have that, then you end up seeing that we are going to blame the security because we don't have enough security that will provide us that opportunity. And so this is the importance of the military, and that's what we have been doing.
Okay. Kenny Mbarin Atintande, we want to thank you so much for joining the show this evening.
You're welcome.
That's the Director of Armed Forces Public Relations Directorate, Colonel Mbawini Atintande. But as we speak about it, what does the former high-ranking military officer make of the Ghana Armed Forces initiative? Well, we now have on the line a former general officer commanding the Northern Command, Major General Henry Anyidoho. Thank you so much, sir, for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah. What are your views on this new initiative?
Well, let me say this. You know, I've been on a retirement for a few years now, so I will not be speaking like somebody who is within the system now, but let me just take you a little bit back to my own personal experience in the military and why I think the initiative is so important, and it's, perhaps it should have been done long time ago. When I was a lieutenant, there used to be a company in Tema called Akasanuma that produced radio receivers that were even exported outside Ghana. In the same vein, there was Sanyo Electronics, and as a communications officer, we used to visit those areas, participated in the Tema industrial area in these particular two companies. It became an avenue for our ex-servicemen from Signal to work there. So immediately they left the service, they went straight into business in Tema. Those things do not exist anymore. But the initiative that our first president had, Kwame Nkrumah, at that time, and put those things in place, we should have upheld them. They're all gone. In fact, this Sanyo Electronics and Kasanoma I've just mentioned, I don't think there are many people who are today young. The youth, they may not know about them. Again, let me give you another example. I was sitting in the desert of Sudan, and I saw on the television, BBC one evening, that they were assembling mobile phones in Zambia. And I said to myself, why couldn't we do that in Ghana? After all, it's a transmitter and a receiver. And I immediately called back to Ghana to speak to my colleagues in the communication sector where we wouldn't think about introducing something of the sort to produce these mobile phones cheaply for our rural folks, because I believe that the expertise is there. So if we can eat less cowhide and use whatever we have to produce shoes, which the military uses so much, and be able also to sell some to our civilian counterparts cheaply, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I know that during my service time, Spintex was involved in producing some of the materials that we use in sewing our military uniforms. Coming back to the realities of today, there is one gentleman known as Prince Kofi Amwambe, who is the chief executive officer of UT Bank, UT Financial Services. He left the service as a young man and believed in his God-given talent. He started trying his hands at something that he believed was going to work. Today, I think Ghanaians are the best people to bear testimony to what he has been able to achieve through his own initiative. He came from the military.
Yeah.
We know of the many efforts that the engineers did in the Afran Plains in the western region of Ghana also, all to construct roads so that they can make those places accessible. And if we were to have more machinery, they will do even more. So you do have the expertise because the men and women in the military attended essentially the same schools as their counterparts in the civil streets. So why some people think that the military should be put in the compartment is something which worries me. And I'll go straight away to give you another example. I attended the United States Marine Corps Staff College. While there, we had an opportunity to visit some of their installations. And during one particular visit to California, we spent 2 nights in a hotel that was owned by the U.S. Marines. The precision with which they took you or they received you at the reception, the cleanliness of the rooms, every service that you received, I think those things added value to the accommodation. So more and more people wanted to live there. Why couldn't the Ghanaian Armed Forces do something like that?
Yeah.
Who will be the best to look after maritime security if it's not the Navy and their counterparts in Merchant Navy?
Yeah.
Who will be the best at aviation? But the people who have been trained to do this and their expertise. And some time ago, Ghana Air Force used to run domestic services for us.
Okay.
Should we be able to use the engineers to manufacture aircraft parts? Would there be anything wrong with that?
Major Girani, though, you are raising a lot of issues that perhaps others observing will say, then perhaps the Ghana Armed Forces have been lying low for far too long. What is the problem? Why is it that it is now that you are coming up again after some time? You've mentioned Akasanma and Sanyu and all.
Well, I would think that because we had to grapple with a lot of internal problems. My set of officers, I will tell you, for the period that I stayed in the army, we passed through a number of what we call, I think I described them as the trying periods of our service. A young country became independent, and we did have some internal upheavals, and we had to reassess our position to reset the clock so that we would know the direction to which we were to go. And now that through combined efforts of the military and our civilian counterparts, we are in a democratic governance, then we can turn to the other things that we think the military can also do to contribute.
Mm.
So those were learning years that we were trying several ways of finding our correct path. Thank God we have overcome those now, and I think this is about, this may be one of the reasons why we had not gone there.
Okay.
Earlier.
Yeah. So, Major General, in this case, how can the state also assist the effort so that everybody benefits? Earlier, Colonel Atintani was telling us that they will even be employing civilians.
Yes, I think so. We've never held ourselves away from our civilian counterparts. Even in our training institutions, we've always had civilians on the staff. So I cannot see why we will not get civilians who are experts in particular fields to participate in this if we want it to be really very strong and be up and doing. Let me say this. All that I said will boil down to good management. You set up an industry and you have a poor management, then you are never going to get anywhere. The individuals that are going to be put in charge of this defense industry or whatever companies should be people that will have initiative, should be people that will work hard for future generations, and also to do loyally and honestly. If they don't do that and they fail, then it will look as if the initiative is not good. I think the initiative itself is good, but the people who are going to be put in charge should just try and manage well. And that will include, of course, our civilian counterparts.
Well, just before we let you go, don't you think maybe in one way or the other, for those who may not understand it perfectly, will think it is competition coming up, especially those who have been engaged in industry and perhaps might have eyed that one for some time?
I think if they do, it will be unfortunate because it's better that we put our shoulders to the wheel together. This is a country that is trying to develop. And if you have expertise and you deny yourself the use of those expertise, you'll have yourself to blame. If we are those who read widely, will know that when they go into the website, they will discover that even a country like Australia, they have companies that are fully involved in business, employing as many as about 4,300 full-time military personnel and about 1,700 reservists. So you have these top type of companies all over the world. They are not new. We have not had time to do so earlier on. Now that we are starting, I think people should not look at it as a competition, but we put our hands, our shoulders to the wheel together, and we push it forward. Soon the results will begin to show. And even those who do not believe in the initiative now will come to accept.
Okay. Major General Henry Anjindo, who retired, we want to thank you so much for your time this evening on Behind the News.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's a former general officer commanding the Northern Command, and is also well known for being in Rwanda. Later, we'll be exploring some of these issues in relation to peace and the way we've been going about things in this country presently. Behind the News on Radio Ghana, linking up with all our regional FM stations. We are taking a quick break. We'll be back. Behind the News on Radio Ghana, we have some of your tests coming in. This one says, there is nothing wrong if the Ghana Armed Forces can help reduce the unemployment situation in the country by doing business. They should keep it up. And Tanla is saying, we workers of the Ghana Health Service have waited for so long for the single spine. When will it reach us? Tanla will be trying to get the CEO to talk on that particular issue. And David from UDS is saying, the implementation of the single spine has only led to a massive deletion of names of teachers on further studies and nothing else. Well, when we get the CEO, we'll be tackling that particular issue. But we move on to our next story. Armed robbers seem to be carrying their dastardly trade to a different level as the security services continue to map out strategies to carry the fight against the robbers in the cities. The robbers also try to be a step ahead of the police by doing all they can to outwit them. The shootout between highway robbers and the police at the weekend in Ashanti and Bunafu brings to the fore the urgent need to review the strategy to combat robberies on our highways. Something is obviously being done in this direction, but the bloody exchanges of fire is enough to tell one that there are still leakages in the security operations on our highways. So what is the solution? And that is what we want to find out as we welcome to Behind the News once again the Acting Director of the Police Public Affairs Unit, DSP Sifas Atta. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you, Kingsley.
Yes. Can you give us an update of what happened over the weekend before we even start exploring the other issues?
Wow. Thank you very much. I wonder if I'm in a position presently to give an update of the situation. But I can give you some information. What happened over the weekend has resulted in the arrest of some suspected criminals as far as those incidents were concerned, and some of them also dropped dead as a result of exchanges between them and the police. You realize that on the issue, in the robbery case on the Bolga Tamale Road, the police managed to foil the attempt because the first bus that was attacked, when signal to stop, the driver veered off the road and hit a tree. This resulted in the locking system of the car, especially the doors, getting spoiled, and therefore the attempt by the criminals to enter the car and perhaps visit their savagery on them failed. In the course of trying to get on board, another car pulled up, another bus pulled up, and they redirected their attention onto that one. And before they could succeed in robbing, the highway patrol team had arrived, and on seeing the highway patrol team, the police patrol team, they took to their heels and fled. So eventually that robbery attempt was foiled. When you come to the one that took place between Insuta and the team in the Ashanti region and Brown region, what happened is that there was a policeman on board the vehicle an escort security detail. And so when, unfortunately, the armed robber shot the police, the driver, then the police officer on board returned fire, and he also managed to drop one of the criminals, while the rest also took to their heels and ran away. Eventually, two of them were arrested and brought to the police. And now, that is the situation where we are now. And we think that the police are presently on top of the situation.
Yeah, you mentioned that the police is on top, but there's a situation where some of the reports reaching behind the news indicates that people of Fulani extraction, and previously we've had similar reports, people of Fulani extraction. Does that mean they've been left just like that without necessarily going into their camp to do other things to try to get all those who engage in other activities during the night?
Thank you. You know that we are within the ECOWAS sub-region, and there are protocols that we are enjoined to observe and to obey. And it doesn't mean that because we are bound to obey certain protocols, we have to let criminals come into our country and operate. No. But as far as trying to fight these criminals among us are concerned, the police have embarked, have organized a few sweep operations within the dens of these criminals and arrested a few not long ago, just within 1 month ago or so. There were such sweeps organized within such dens, and some of them were arrested. Others were found with incriminating objects like weapons and other things. Others were also found to be genuine people living here and doing their genuine business. So it's not as if that they have been left unattended to. They are being attended to, except that we live within a political milieu, political sub-region, and we must also obey some protocols that we have appended our signatures to. Some of the issues are also bigger issues and not within the domain of the police. We can only make suggestions and give pieces of advice to policymakers. And I think we have done that, and we know that the policymakers are also looking at their books to see how best they can help in solving the problem.
Okay.
But by and large, let me say that the police is doing well as far as raiding them, ensuring that security is maintained is concerned.
Okay. DSP Sefasata, please hold on for us. I will come back to you shortly. But Godfred Achan Dakwa, CEO of Road Safety and Transportation Consultants, and they have been looking at road safety issues from different directions. We want to welcome you to Behind the News, Nsachi Adakwa.
Thank you very much.
Naturally, with some of these things recurring, how does it work on the psyche of a driver taking passengers along, and then the safety issues? How does it work out?
It's a very frightening and dissatisfying issues that need to be addressed with all intents and purpose. You know, this thing is becoming too frequent, and at times, drivers...
Hello, Mr. Chiadakwa.
Hello.
If you can please go down the volume of your set for us, or
okay.
If you can move
okay.
away from it. And
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So what I'm saying is, it is becoming so rampant that something needs to be done to enroute this thing, which is reoccurring. And, you know, driving requires full concentration and a free mindset that nobody's mind will be disturbed, and then he can control the panels with these modern vehicles that has a lot of modern buttons and gadgets that need to be controlled. We need full alertness and concentration so that you can drive well. But here is the case, a driver driving this bus is also confronted with another thing, like people attacking these drivers from within and from without. And it becomes worrisome. You know, when it does that, you put the drivers into so much stress. And it is not too good for our road safety. And then coming back to this type of road robbery, I think we think there should be something. I know the military and the police are on top of it, they can see to it, but we can make some few suggestions. For example, if it has become rampant, then we should be able to find means of searching anybody who is going on board of on such buses, although there might be a security officer who accompany these buses. But if we can search individuals about some of the things that they carry into the vehicle and see those things, with the pen knife and then the jack knife and then the, how do you call it, guns and even the toy guns, should not be accepted to be on board. And then again, talking about the armed robbers on the roads, who have been blocking the roads, the road highway robbers. These things is because we can run, but look at what happened also at Manfe, Kofodian Road, where six cars were also robbed at a gunpoint. This is when we trace down to the problem. My brother, you rightly said. You said we trace all this into the Fulanis. We trace all this from Fulanis. But so when we get them, I don't know how the investigation go. It should go to the root of these people where they stay. And if they're under Fulanis, they use it to, cover all of them. And if there's a way of exiting them, we should do that because it's becoming too serious.
Yeah.
It's becoming too serious.
Mr. Chiadakwa, I'll come back to you. You are still making suggestions, but we still have DSP Sifa Sata on the line helping us to appreciate some of the security concerns that the situation brings. So, from what you are saying, does that mean that the moment you have a security person on board, everybody is safe, or perhaps you need more than even one?
Hello. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Chiadakwa, we are still online.
Yes, I think this is something. If this is going to be the problem, having a policeman on board is good. The drivers should also be given some military drills, some military training, so that they can augment their knowledge about some of these things.
Okay.
So that is one. Two, they don't go alone. They go with a driver and a spare driver and at times an attendant, and all of them must be made to go through such drills. To help us, I think it will work.
Okay. Just hold on. I want to go to DSV Sifa Sata in this case. You have had a policy with some of the transport organizations to add security people to the buses. How is it working?
Hello?
Hello, yes. DSV Sifa Sata.
Yeah, thank you very much. The discussion between the police and some transport operators over the years to collaborate efforts so we can fight these criminals by putting some policemen on board the vehicles hasn't really received the kind of response that we wanted. That would be favorable to all of us. What happened is that in those days, a few of them accepted this thing, and then we put some police officers on board their vehicles. But a few issues arose. I think they were trivial, and that had to do with finances, money. Some of them thought that the seat that the police officers would be occupying, one policeman to one bus, they felt that they could have sold the seat to their passengers and got money from it, and then more fee that they were paying. I mean, sometimes some of them were paying as low as 5 Ghana cedis, 2,000 old cedis, to a police officer on board from Accra to Sunyani, from Accra to Kumasi, from Accra to Wa, from Accra to wherever and back. And people were saying that the 5 cedis that they pay as a token to the police officer and the seat the police officer occupied, which they could have sold to their passenger, was too much for them. How trivial the average Ghanaian looks at security. We have taken security for granted for far too long, such that we are not prepared to spend a little or to invest a little in security and reaping the maximum benefit after having put these security measures in place. So along the way, some of these fell out and facing. Not continue much the expectation. of the police administration and the police service. Just a few of them are staying in it. And that even accounted for why the police were able to foil that robbery attempt on the Insuta Bechem road. Because in that instance, there was a police escort in the car. There was a police detail in the car. So when the criminals striked, the police was there to foil the attempt, so that although it is regrettable that only the driver died, if there hadn't been the police in the car, perhaps almost the 27, 37, 47 men would have suffered some mishaps.
Yeah. So,
not be able to avert that. So I think it is good that we revisit.
Dear Sister Fasata, you are raising one concern that perhaps for travelers it will be key having security on board. But assuming those who do not get security on board, how regular are the patrols on the various routes identified as prone to such attacks?
Yes, I can hardly hear you. If you can repeat it.
Yes, we are asking that having one on board is good, but how regular are the patrols on the routes we've identified?
Thank you very much. If you are talking about the patrols on our roads, they are as regular as the world itself patrols. You see, in the recently held National Police Command Conference in Accra, the resolve was that police, regional district divisional commanders and other unit commanders are to go and intensify patrol system of patrols. In fact, they even held the conference against the background of these recorded robberies on our roads. So it was much the subject for discussion at the conference. And so more attention was given to that, and regional commanders were charged, specifically charged by the Federal General of Police and its administration, to go and ensure that they create a conducive atmosphere on our roads for our countrymen and women. And so I don't wonder the way the patrol teams responded to the few cases that we recorded on our road over the weekend.
Okay.
The instruction hook, line and sinker and are operating as fast.
Okay, but let's quickly ask, how are you resourced for the operations we are talking about? You need vehicles that are good. How are you resourced for the operations?
How are we resourced?
Yes, in terms of vehicles and all the other things you need.
Yes, we have a few challenges.
Hello, DSP.
Hello, are you on?
Yes, DSP, you are still online.
Yeah, we have a few challenges as far as fighting crime generally is concerned, and then fighting crime specifically on our roads. We are yet to get the number of vehicles that we need to be able to effectively police our highways. The situation used to be very bad, but the government over the years have given us a few batches of vehicles which are saving us so much, especially the Land Cruiser, the Pajero type vehicle that they brought recently. It is the one that's doing the trick for us. We are using them so effectively, and we are reaping results as we reap over the weekend, although there were a few unsavory stories to tell. By and large, we were successful. But then we hope that when we get the 700 vehicles that have been promised us, which are supposed to come very soon, the situation will be much
Yes, we are losing you. If you can please reposition yourself, we'll come back to you. But Mr. Achiadakwa is still on the line. Mr. Achiadakwa, you've talked about drills for even drivers, but assuming they are concentrating on driving, how will the drills even help them?
You know, it can help them to take some security decisions. For example, let's come to even people who are used to the normal cars and SUVs, the 4x4s and the saloon cars. If you are confronted with an armed robbery, a road blocking because of armed robbers, there's a security drill that we can train drivers to avoid or even to turn simultaneously on the road and get back. There are some people we have trained. When we can take the Mansi Kofodia incident, where a car from Greg Koko Research Institute was driving a director. He was confronted with a roadblock. Because that driver had been trained with that was able to, although there were cars parked in front of them, back, he was able to leave the scene, drive off the scene, and go. There are some particular training that we can take some drivers through to avoid some of these things, although it cannot be fully into two. But assuming the drivers have this knowledge, and we have some police officers in the bar, you see that it helps to calm down this incident.
Yeah. Do you think there is something that the police should change in their way of operations, looking at the new security concerns?
True. I think yeah, that can also do, because look at if these people are able to get all the booties they want, they just enter the bush and that is all. There should be a way of doing it. That's why we suggested some time ago that it should be possible for every district, there should be a billboard indicating the police station's number or a police officer's number. Where such incident, when it happens, we can call the nearest police station or the nearest security station, so that before they say jack, they know the terrain and they can come and help and apprehend those people. You see, at times the communication is important. I'm happy Vodafone is coming up with something like that, where there's going to be billboard all over the countries with a black spot, so that when there is any accident or any such emergencies, we can call and get access to people who are close to that area, so that they can come in and help. So I think all these things will work.
Mr. Godfred Achiadakwa, I want to thank you very much for your input this evening.
Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Achiadakwa, CEO, Road Safety and Transportation Consultant 2. They work on road safety science. But DSP Sefasasa, you are still on the line. From the suggestions being given by Mr. Achiadakwa, are you going to do something in addition? I know it is not every security detail that sometimes you want to discuss on air. Hello, DSP. I guess we lost DSP Sefasata on the line. We'll try to re-establish contact and ask the other questions. But it's behind the news on Radio Ghana, linking up with all our regional FM stations and security concerns. So important, especially sometimes if you have to travel at night. We are taking a quick break. We'll be back. As behind the news on Radio Ghana, some of your texts here from Jacob Wu Mampondahu. The army taking over the shoe factory will bring the army and civilians more closer. And from Lord La, there is nothing wrong if the military engages in shoemaking. And Baba Musa is saying instant justice for armed robbers is the only way that can help reduce the number of robbers on the streets drastically. From Abebiwa, it is good that the armed forces have identified a way of helping to develop Ghana. And Wind Kolmasa, I hope I got your name right, from Sola Tuna Kalba District. Single spine will soon cover all sectors in order to achieve a better Ghana. Let's say no to opposition propaganda. Tia from Walewale, good evening, Kingsley. The development by the Ghana Armed Forces to go into manufacturing and other services to make the manufacturing sector vibrant is long overdue. And Andrew Manga, the Ghana Armed Forces has taken a good initiative, but they should not forget their main task. God bless them. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, we'll be back with more. Yes, I hear we've managed to establish contact with DSP Sefas Atta. We lost you, so sorry. Hello, DSP. Oh, okay, when we manage to re-establish contact again, we'll get to him on the other issues we didn't finish. But let's move on to our other story in relation to fair wages. The mention of the single spine salary structure quickly brings to focus great expectations of public sector workers. While some have been ruled unsuccessfully, others still express reservations about where they were placed on the spine. For this latter group, the expectations are waiting for fulfillment. And like Oliver Twist, the call is for more. However, there is another group that have not experienced at all whatever there is to have with the single spine. These ones are still knocking on the doors of the Fair Wages Commission. What is keeping this last group from being rolled onto the single spine salary structure? What has the commission done so far? Well, we now have on the line Mr. Josmi Graham, the Chief Executive of the Fair Wages Commission, to help us clarify the issues as they are being raised. Thank you so much, Mr. Smith Graham, for your time this evening.
Thank you very much for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Yes, we are asking, where are we with the single spine if you have to rate between 1 and 10?
Between 1 and 10, I would say that we are at 7.
At 7?
With the implementation of the single spine.
What is the 3 left?
The 3 left are other critical public service institutions that we are busily working behind the scenes to quickly bring them on board the single spine. And they constitute about 30% of the entire public sector workforce. And we are working very hard behind the scenes to make sure that we bring all these institutions on board.
Yeah, we've not heard so much from some of the other organizations, but others have been pushing, saying that they were promised in August. For example, the health workers. What is their main problem?
Well, the main challenge with the health sector has to do with arriving at consensus with regards to their grade structure. You know, when you take the health sector is a very complex sector with a lot of various grades within the sector. And so normally it takes a lot of discussions behind the scenes, discussion, consensus building before you're able to reach some form of agreement. We have managed to move forward so far as the health sector is concerned. I think we had a meeting with the nurses last Friday, not Thursday, to reach some understanding. We were supposed to meet the health workers group as well as the Ghana Medical Association on Friday, but they were all occupied and therefore we were not able to meet them. We are therefore meeting them again tomorrow, and we believe that tomorrow's meeting should reach an agreement on their grading structure, and immediately we'll begin the mapping and migrate them onto the single spine.
You are discussing, but where do you think the problem is mainly coming from? Because you are talking about grades, and they will say that, oh, this has been discussed perpetually.
Well, when it comes to health sector, I am of the view that we could have made a lot of progress if, for instance, we are all meeting together in these discussions. But it's one area that there's always a problem if you bring all of them together. You are not likely to have a very successful meeting if you bring all the unions within the sector together at a meeting. Anytime we try that, what we have is a lot of disagreements and arguments and fighting and all that. So we have to meet them one after the other, one after the other. And that is quite difficult. You meet with this group, they bring up an issue. You need to make sure that issue has been incorporated. You take the other group, you discuss with them and all that. But thank God, we've made a headway. And I believe that when it comes to the health sector, I am convinced that we are about 90% through.
The Ghana Medical Association has been raising concerns. What about them?
Well, I know that the concern of the Ghana Medical Association is that they want us to implement the single spine without any major hitches as we experienced on the education sector one. And that is exactly what we are also doing, ensuring that we will implement the health sector one with very minimal difficulties as possible. That is why it has taken us all this while to make sure we reach some form of consensus and also make sure that we go through the processes, meticulously to ensure that when we implement it for the health sector, everybody will be okay and satisfied with it.
Mr. Graham, just hold on for us. We are talking about the health sector, and we have one person there and leading a group, and they call themselves the Alliance for the Interest of Nurses and Midwives. Richard Alogetiga is on the line now, and the group believes that it has taken too long for the nurses and midwives to be placed on the single spine salary structure. He might have listened to you, but let's see the other concerns they have. Mr. Alogetiga, you are welcome to Behind the News. Hello, Mr. Alogetiga.
Hello.
Yes. We are asking, you have raised concerns recently. Does that mean that for what Mr. Smith Graham is talking about, you have no knowledge at all as a nurse and midwife?
Thank you very much. We have an association, and we think that this association should be able to disseminate every information that we need to understand regarding our migration onto this single spine. Now, there was information last year that health workers were supposed to be paid in October. After October, they said we could not get it, and there was a call for renegotiation. Now, this year we came, several calls came to let us know we should be patient, we will be paid by this. First week of June, the GRNA president presented a press release. By the end of July, if we were not placed on single spine, we have no other alternative than to go on strike. Now, the second week of June, the Fair Wages Commission came out that in 2 weeks' time, migration of health workers will have been completed. Now, June ended. We came to July. No information. Now, we have issues with the Wages Commission and that of GRNA executives. In the first place, the Fair Wages Commission is not doing its best. Excuse me to say that. Because if you think that you are not ready to pay workers, please take your time. Make sure that you are finished with all the modalities before you migrate workers. You migrate these workers this month, another month you will migrate at the other group. Then there is confusion here and there. How do you solve it? Now, we are saying that that is your power. We cannot decide for you. But then, you can't continue to mention men to us that will be paid, and we are not paid. Are you playing hide and seek with us? Now, let me come back to the GRNA executives. With the information that will go on strike by the end of July if we were not placed on the single spine. Now, we have not been placed. Where are we? Is there any information as to the otherwise? Because we think that we should be appropriately informed with updates of every information regarding the migration of health workers on this to this policy.
So, Richard, what is the latest information you've got from your executives before Mr. Graham
the latest
comes?
Information, last week I called the president. I don't know whether it was due to network or maybe we couldn't talk. I called the PRO, and the PRO said, oh, we were all thinking that we'll be paid this month and then next month civil servants, but they have rather attended to the civil servants. So I said, then what is the next this thing forward? They said, oh, let's hold on. Probably next month. And I said, no, probably we use the word probably. Where are we? You are the executives. You
okay.
need to feed us with dependable information.
So it means they are also not aware.
Good. Then I said that the problem with nurses, we just have one problem. We don't have a problem with how long it will take for us to be paid. But we want to know our base pay. We don't know our package. According to the PRO, they themselves don't know. So if you don't know, what are the basis for your negotiation with the government? What
okay.
are you negotiating for?
That's okay. our concern. I want to thank you very much. But we want to place it on record that we made efforts to reach different members of the executive of the GRNA, and we always hit the wall. But Mr. Smith Graham, you are listening to this. For a group that you've been talking to, how would you assess the way they are relating to other membership?
Please, what did you say is the name of the group again?
The group calls themselves Alliance for the Interests of Nurses and Midwives.
Okay. You see, that is the difficulty I sometimes have with some of these groups. If, for instance, you are the Alliance for the Interests of Nurses and Midwives or whatever, I would expect that if, for instance, you are getting in touch with your leadership and you are claiming you are having difficulties with getting in touch with the leadership, what prevents the group from getting in touch with Fair Wages and Service Commission? We in Fair Wages and Service Commission don't want to get ourselves involved in any internal politicking of any association. And so we normally deal with the recognized bodies within the various organizations. And so if for any reason any group feels that they are not getting the information that is supposed to get to them, I believe that the best would have been the institution just picking a phone and calling me or calling any member of my executive, and you get information. Because when we are dealing with sensitive issues of this nature, we deal with management first. After dealing with management, we go down and deal with the union. Yet it is true that I would expect that the unions will go, and I know, for instance, that the union executives have been in several regions of the country. Sometimes they are in the regions and they call me that they are here. These are the issues. And we discuss the issues. So it is not as if the nothing is being done.
Yeah.
In any case, if, for instance, they feel that they don't know the levels of the grade, at least there was a job re-evaluation and they saw the results of the job re-evaluation. It is a contest. The contestant of those job re-evaluation, and I'm sure you recall that this job re-evaluation brought about a lot of issues. Ghana Medical Association raised an issue. You say, look, implement the job re-evaluation without touching it. the health workers group came out and said, look, you can't implement a job revaluation as it is. Nurses group and came, you can't implement it the way it is. Meaning that there are issues in there that we need to resolve before.
You believe the splinter groups rather create problems for you?
I think so. And I believe that if even it is information they are looking for as they are claiming, then they need to get in touch with that Affairs, Ways and Science Commission to put information out there.
For those issues, we'll try to get into deeply so that at least it will be clarified for or when we manage to get the executives. But the other pending ones, when will the arrears be paid? When are you even starting the calculation from? Say there is some blurred things here.
If you look at the government white paper, the government white paper indicated that the single spine takes effect from January 2010. So it means that anybody who will see any increase in the implementation of the single spine will get arrears from January 2010. So whatever the amount you came on board, you get arrears from January 2010. Now, you recall that we have been on air officially. I have announced that, and the Minister of Employment and Social Welfare at a press conference also announced that the arrears will be paying from September. The payment of the arrears is a negotiable issue, and we need to sit down with the organized labor to negotiate the payment of the arrears. At the moment, we are engaged in the negotiation of the base pay on the single spine, and immediately we conclude negotiations on the base pay on the single spine, we will now move on to this payment of the arrears. But the bottom line is that the payment of the arrears will begin from September this year.
From September this year.
Yes.
Well, for those still not satisfied with where they were placed, even though they've been rolled on, what are you still doing about it?
Now, on the single spine and the processes, we have in Fair Wage and Sales Commission the Grievance Review Committee. The Grievance Review Committee is made up of members of the board of the Fair Wage and Sales Commission and some experts from outside. So if for any reason anybody is still dissatisfied after the organization has been rolled onto the single spine, that individual can apply through his organization, or that group can apply through their organization, and it will be submitted to the Fair Wage and Sales Commission. The Grievance Review Committee will sit on it, look at the issues involved, and when they give their ruling, it becomes final.
Okay.
So all is not lost for organizations that have even migrated onto the single spine.
A test I just got was asking, what about GBC? Do you have them there?
GBC is already on a single spine, so...
But some are saying they were not satisfied.
Yeah, if they are not satisfied, then GBC can bring the issue up. They should compile the issues and then submit the issues to the Grievance Review Committee through the management of GBC. Because we will not be taking individual complaints and group complaints directly. It has to come through the management of the organization. Because grading issues are management issues. And so once you pass it to the management, management analyzes it and forwards it to Fair Wage and Sales Commission. The review committee will sit on it, and when they give their ruling, it becomes final. Even that one, if you are not satisfied, you can go to the Labour Commission. Even after the Labour Commission, if you are not satisfied, you can go to the Appeals Court. So there are various processes within the rules of this country that we can have our grievances resolved within the implementation of the single spine.
Mr. Smith Graham, because of our time, we'll wrap it up now, but certainly we'll get back to you. I want to thank you so much for responding to our call this evening.
Thank you very much, too, for the opportunity.
Mr. Justin Graham is the Chief Executive of the Fair Wages Commission, clearing some issues on single spine. Before we go, some of your tests. Ghana has had too much patience for these Fulani armed robbers. Why can't we have a national debate now? You didn't add your name. Latigbal, you are saying the police should adopt the shoot and kill system of dealing with armed robbers. I think that is more rewarding than the arrest, which sometimes leads to claiming of lives by these notorious armed robbers. And why don't we do away with armed robbers when they are caught? Mauli from Mankisim is asking that question. And there are no wars for Ghana to fight. Soldiers should even be made to farm for the nation alongside that enterprise. Fortune from Kwando. The alarm the police blow during a chase always alert the robbers to run. They should change the method of chasing robbers on highways. From Sakum James Kokuligu. And Gabriel from Kalba Northern Region. When will this armed robbery stop? I suggest the government do something about it. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. We want to thank you all for being part of it. On behalf of my production team of Christopher Sidu, Edmond Tete, Bryce Agama, Hannah Usubempa at the controls, and Jonathan Thompson with the summaries, together with our production assistants Victoria Ahaji and Naz Jagble Ago. My name is Kingsley of Interest. Behind the news.